right there. Thank you very much. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We'll be looking over in the book of Ephesians tonight again in chapter number 6. In the book of Ephesians in chapter number 6. I began a message the other night on Wednesday night out of that chapter there, and I want to dig a little deeper on some of it. And because necessity compels me, as the signs of the times are upon us. All right, taking Ephesians 6, if you're able to stand, look in verse number 14. In chapter number 6 and verse number 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Boy, I'm going to tell you right now, everything hangs on the truth. If it doesn't matter how many other things you may or may not have in the way of add-ons and so forth and on, if you don't have the truth, then it's just going to fall apart. Now, Father, bless your word to every heart. We do thank you for it. We ask you now to move upon us, within us, and we thank you for the good liberty this morning. Bless, I pray, the word to every heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. Last time we read out of this chapter here a couple of spots there where he talked about putting on the whole armor of God. I don't know if you've noticed it or not, but you're going to need to have some kind of a defense, because you're going to be shot at with error a whole lot in the day and hour that we're living in. It's going to get worse the closer the coming of the Lord is. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And let me tell you, the Bible said the time will come they'd not endure sound doctrine. But I guarantee you that heap to themselves teachers have an itch in ears. I mean, they go to church somewhere, you preach something they don't like, they just go to find another church to where that's going to be all right already. I got to tell you, the reason why that it's like that, people are not really tuned in and caring about having the truth of God a gird about their loins, and all the other added protection pieces might be put on there. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, let me say to you what necessitates it to know it. And let me tell you, I can't emphasize enough that you'd better saturate your heart, your mind with the Word of God, which is the truth of God. And let me say to you that whenever you do that, that way if somebody comes up and says something that's an error, you'll automatically can catch it, because God will remind you of the truth that you've got hid down in your heart. Now, in the Bible lesson that we're looking at, you'll find we live in a day and an hour to where there's a lot of lie. People believe a lie and they're damned, and they're doomed to a devil's hell because they believed a lie and not the truth. I want you to see that one of the things that's going on in the country is that this transgender thing. If you'll just listen, or let one of your kids listen to them for a little bit, they won't know if they're boys or girls. They won't know if they're growing up to be a man or a woman or whatever they are. And I want to say some things, if you will, please, that I don't care where you're from, what your color is. I don't care nothing about any of that. God loves you and died for your sins and all that. And if you line up with what God said, you can be saved by the grace of God, and then you can be in tune with Him. But I'm sick and tired of myself. You know what's worse looking than a black man that's got a rug sewed in his head and looks like Whoopi Goldberg's kid, one of their illegitimate. You know what's worse than that? A white boy that wants to act like and dress like that he's a black man. And I've seen him now playing basketball on these teams, you know, college and professional, and a white boy looks trashy with a dreadlock in his hair. Shame on him. There ought to be some black people stand up and protest against that every now and again. All right, here we go, right here. You need somebody to sit your dog? Here she is. You need somebody here to clean your house? There she is. We're glad you're here. And so anyhow, we're talking about the truth of God. And let me say to you, having done all to stand, but if you're going to be able to stand for God, I told you the last time that we wanted to be able to have the armor of light, we wanted to have the armor of right, and we wanted to have the armor of might. And if you're going to stand with God against all these bunch of perverts and against these queers that are running rampant in the land, And let me tell you right now, his buddy, a sodomite is an aggressive bunch. If you don't believe that, read over there in the book of Genesis whenever they came to Lot's house and they wanted to get those two angels that had come to deliver, and they wanted to tear the door down. He said, and here's how bad a shape Lot was. Oh, don't do this. Don't do so wickedly like that. Here, take my daughters. They're virgins. And how messed up was he, you see? I got to say to you that, if you will, that they're an aggressive bunch, and they were there, no doubt, to tear the door down if they had to get in there. And to be able to get those angelic beings that came there as though they were men. I got to say to you, had they not been smitten with blindness, no telling where that thing would have led. Now, I'm going to tell you, blindness is taking part in the country that we're living in. And let me make this up. Let me make up for lost time in case you missed it along the way. There's no such thing as being born to queer. These little boys that are sitting here tonight, every one of them, whenever they're born into the world, they've got to be trained to act like men, to look like men. All these little girls that are in here, every one of them have to be trained to look like a lady, to act like a lady. So what they did was, the devil knew years ago that parents didn't want to have to bring up their children in the love, nurture, and admonition of the Lord. And so the government stepped in with a lie to be damned and to teach your kid how to think, how to act, how to dress. What do you think? That it doesn't matter if you go from the East Coast to the West Coast or whatever coast that you're going. They all look the same. They dress the same. They got the same little cocky attitude. And they believe the same damnable lie that's being preached to them by the government of the United States. This Bible said, "Cease, my son, to be able to hear instruction that causeth thee to err from the truth of God or from the things of God." That's the reason why in the day we're living in, that homeschooling, by the way, is that God bless all of you that do that and that have time to do that and that are not up against it to where you couldn't, but God bless you for having done that. And I hope that you'll just simply make sure to be able to do something for the cause of Christ. And let me tell you right now, homeschooling doesn't work. You have to work it. But if you'll work it, it'll do something. But if you're like me, you're a little bit lazy. Just won't you shut that up and go play somewhere? See what I'm talking about? That's what happens. Until finally, you know, You've got a couple of kids. One of them's named Beavis, the other one's named Butthead, and they can't read and write their name in boxcar letters, and they're busy. That's all, folks. Somebody was bragging on a kid, you know, that was able to read, you know, one word at a time, and then he wasn't getting most of those, and they were just spelled with three letters. And he was missing some of those every now and again. And somebody said, "I think he did a pretty good job." And one of the kin folks said, "Yeah, but for a college grad?" See? See that? I just got to tell you right up front, buddy, you're not going to be able to think right and look right and walk right and talk right and spit white. You're not going to be able without growing in grace and love and knowledge. If you're having trouble teaching your kids, talk to Miss Diane. She's good at it. If you look into this Bible, you recognize and realize is that having done all to stand, that means you've saturated your heart and your mind with the blessed word of the Lord. Now, I want you to notice something else in this lesson, is that in the day we live in, they don't want to call them what they are, and that is perverts. They don't want to call them what they are. They don't want to call them queers. I want you to look in your Bible, if you will, mark the place. It's over in the book of Romans, in Romans in chapter 1. Now mark that with something so we can find it in a moment. And I'll give you a couple of other passages real quickly. Over there in the book of 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 2, that's one passage we're going to be looking at, verse number 14, real quickly tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2, and the Bible says that about verse number 14. Now in our text verse, we didn't read it tonight, but the Bible said that our battle that we have, that's why we have the armor on. But the battle that we're up against is against spiritual wickedness in high places. And let me tell you right now, friend, you talk about a wicked bunch in high places, in governmental offices, we've got them. I want to say to you that if you will, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 14, but the Bible said, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. Look at that. They not only receive it not, they can't know it because they are spiritually discerned. Look in your Bible now that if you will please over there in 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll give you a moment to find it. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and about verse number 3. In this lesson that we're talking about, we're looking about, girdle about your loins with the truth. The Bible said that in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and about verse number 3, without that, this is a sign of the last days. People are going to be unthankful, unholy, so disobedient to their parents. Verse 3, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Now, let me tell you, I'm not against having fun. I like fun. I mean, I'm a fun person. But we've got in the world, buddy, that rejects God in order that they can have what they call fun. That's number one with them. All right, now I want you to look at another passage over in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter number 2. I'll give you a second to find that, and then we'll go to Romans in chapter 1. But 2 Peter chapter number 2, I said to you, they don't want to call what they're doing, they don't want to call themselves perverts, but that's exactly what they are. They have big discussions, you know, about, and I was listening to an interview, and one of the congressmen, one of the senators, was interviewed with somebody. In fact, is that attorney general, and they was arguing with him, and he said, "You made it possible for a man that's a transgender, I call them perverts. You made it possible for him to claim that he wanted to be a girl. He went to this school. They named the school. He went in there, raped a girl in the girl's bathroom because he was a transgender and they didn't want to keep him out of there and offend him. So they took him out, covered it up, hushed it up by that school, took him to another school, put him in there, and he done the same thing again and raped another girl in the girl's bathroom. And then they was making a big to-do about and so forth and on, and I didn't know if he had his shots or not. I'll tell you where he needs his shot at. I mean, I'll tell you what God said in that Bible about it. Now, don't take that on to yourself, but I can tell you that's what the law authorities in the country who now made laws to protect perverts, they should have took and incarcerated them. And let me tell you, make no mistake about it, it's going to get worse until Jesus comes again. Now, you know what ends up happening while you turn in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. The Bible said, but these as natural brute beasts are made to be taken and destroyed. They speak evil of things that they understand not. They shall utterly perish in their own corruption. I got to tell you what happens is, the more you get away from the Bible, the more animal-like, the more beast-like that you become. You know, I can walk up and I've got a couple of three that are on the block. And I can go up to my dog and I can look at her and if she's not done what she ought to be and she's done something wrong, I can just chew her out and she'll just kind of cow down and look at me. And it doesn't really make any difference because she's a beast. She can't repent, she's not really sorry, or she would never do what she's gotten in trouble for again. But she does do it again. I mean, if you want to do something right now, kill one of these yapping poodles on the block. No, I didn't. I'm just messing with you. I was just thinking about that. Sorry, I had a flashback over them that were chasing me. I'm just saying to you that if you will, you can go out there, and it don't matter if it's a horse, if it's a dog, if it's a hog, whatever it is you want to call it. Let me just tell you right now, those cats, you can stand there by the porch like this here, and there'll be one or two of them cats jump up on it and come down. I've never owned a cat, never wanted a cat, never had a cat. I've got four cats now. One of them's named Frank, one of them's named Tony, and one of them's named Cleo, and And one of them's named Sally, five. And the other one, I named none of these, by the way, just so you know. And one of them's named Otis. Otis got a kind of a heart deep. You know, most cats, meow, meow. You think, oh, that's cute. And Otis comes up, meow. I just said all that to say this. You know what they do? They act like they ought to be acting because they're animals. No reflection on some of you, and I don't mean to bust your bubble about Santa Claus and your animals being animals. I mean, I know you felt like they're not really animals and they're your babies, and good for you, and God bless you. You're a better trainer than I am. I go a little nuts every now and again. I said all that to be able to say to you that a natural brute beast, dear friend. I noticed something at the rodeo the other night. It don't make any difference how much Jesus jitterbugs and joy juice they're drinking. Those animals weren't impressed whatsoever, and they were jumping higher than this building. I watched a man on a horse that jumped so high that the horse was reared up in the air, and I thought he was going to fall over on him and he would have killed him, no doubt about that. But you know the reason why they're acting like they're acting and doing what they're doing? Brute beast, friend. And that's fine for an animal, but when people go to acting like brute beast, you know, I noticed something about a dog. If another dog comes in season, a female, another male dog, no matter where they're at and how many people stand around or how many other animals, they just go right at it. You ever notice in the day and hour that we're living in that fornicators and adulterers and adulteresses, have you ever noticed they don't pretty much ever care either? What makes that? I'll tell you why. When you say no to God long enough, you become acting more like a brute beast than anything else. All right, Romans, real quickly. We're going to be looking over there a couple of places there real quickly tonight in the book of Romans in chapter number 1. Now, I can't tell you, I've been doing this now here for a little over, 29 years this month. 29 years since June will be our anniversary time. And yet, after all those years, I've had people that walked out and wanted, and you know, you're doing fine, you'll do fine, until one of your kin folks has a kid, turns out to be queer. Well, God's not going to change on it. And in the lesson that we're looking at, let me say in Romans chapter number 1, verse number 26, is where we're going to really be focusing, but I want you to look, if you will, in verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful, but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Now there's the reason, verse 21, they're queers. They didn't want to know nothing about God. When they knew something about God, they didn't like it, they weren't thankful, and they followed their own imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Notice verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And they changed the glory of an incorruptible God unto an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed beasts. See there? And creeping things. They became like animals. And the reason being, they didn't want nothing to do with God. And as a result of that, the next time somebody tells you, well, you know, they can't help, they were born queer. They're not born queer. They're queer because they rejected God and rejected the word of the Lord. And as a result of that, they became like animals. Wherefore God also, verse 24, gave them up unto uncleanness. That's what he says about it. Perverts and unclean thing. Through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Who changed the truth of God into a lie. You know how they became perverts? I'll tell you how. They changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever, amen. All right, now verse 26. For this cause God gave them up to look vile affections. You know that's a vile affection? Somebody said, well, you know, they're such a loving person. Yeah, but who they're loving shows if they're vile or not. That's a vile, a vulgar, a vicious bunch you're dealing with. And let me tell you right now, yes, the White House is putting them in offices and places of high position, And Fox News has given them prominent places on their stage. And make no mistake about it, it's going to be as it was in the days of Lot, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days when Sodom and Gomorrah was running rampant with them, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come again. Amen. Now look, if you will, in verse number 27. Likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, and notice that, burned in their lust one toward another. Now let me just say to you that, if you will, that if you're a man, you see a woman, and you think, gosh, she's pretty. That's a normal response. What's not normal, if you see a man and another man, and you're going to lusting after and wanting another man. I can't tell you how many couples, and divorce is a nasty thing, it's an ugly thing. I've always preached that because that's just the way that it is. It's a nasty thing. It's a nasty subject all the way around. But I can tell you right now is that most people like to think that their spouse would never run off with another person of the opposite sex. In other words, like a woman run off with another man, or a man run off with another woman. I can't tell you how many people in all these years that I've been in this now for, 45 years plus, I can't tell you how many people that I've had to deal with. And one man said in particular, well, you know, my wife's left me and all of that, and I'd like to get saved. I said, no, you don't. You don't want to get saved. You just want your wife back. And that God don't work that way. I mean, there's plenty of people would have bowed your head, repeated a prayer, this and that. I said, and he said, well, I trust her. I trust, she's ran off with another man and you're trusting her? What in the world's the matter with you? I've dealt with women like that. And let me say to you that, if you will, is that I said, I can tell you what she's going to do, anything she's big enough and wants to do. Or I can tell you what he's going to do, ma'am. I don't think he's running around on me with another woman. I say it every time. He's either, after you've been married for a while and your spouse all of a sudden goes nuts and going to leave you, if you're a man, you're either chasing another man or chasing another woman. That's the way that it is. That's a fact of life. Now, I realize, no, most of us that are sitting here tonight and been married any length of time, you know, probably my wife wouldn't even need, she wouldn't need anybody else. I don't have to worry about her whenever I tell her all the time, hon, listen, if you have to remarry and I'm gone and this and that, try not to marry somebody and take them to these places we ride around in Pinkston and show them all of that right there and little fun spots that we've had and enjoyment. Don't you worry about it whatsoever. I'm not going to be interested in none of that. I believe her. But if all of a sudden, you know, she decided to just take off tomorrow, oh, I still love you now. I'm leaving, but I'm leaving. I love you and I'm leaving. Or if I were to tell her that, hey, you mark it down, I'm 73 years old. You see all that gray hair in me? Just because there's a little gray, a little snow on the rooftop, don't mean there can't be a fire down in the furnace. But there's no way that I'd leave my wife without going after somebody else if I was like we're talking about tonight. I've had many a person, you ought to see it whenever I look at him and tell him he's either run off with another woman or he's running off with another man. I hope it's another woman. As wicked and godless as it is. You see what I'm talking about? In the day we live in, you'll find that men have gone against nature. And let me tell you, whenever you see that happening, don't you become indifferent to that. Don't you boys and girls go to think, well, you know, that's just kind of the time we live. It's a vile affection. And God said, you better remember, it's a vile affection. All right, last but not least, let's notice, if you will, please, in verse 27, he talked about, likewise also the men leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward men with men. You know, I've got some of the best friends right here in this church that I'd ever want to have, all these men. I mean, good men. They'll help you whenever you're needing it. I mean, it don't make any difference if it's building something. It don't make any difference if it would be money. It don't make any difference what it is. I mean, we got men here that'd be willing to help you. And you know, after all these years, what a blessing you've been, and I'd like to be a blessing to you, but I've never wanted to kiss one of you. And you already know I'm a pretty good kisser. My wife said it. But I'm not kissing you. In Pinkston or anywhere else. Same way with you women. I know that in here we've got the cream of the crop and preaching to the choir. But don't you ever get to where you're sympathetic with that crowd that's busy doing that. As the Bible said, they leave in verse 27, they leave the natural use of the woman. It's natural for a man to like a woman and a woman to like a man. It's unnatural to like the same sex. All right, in verse number 31, look what he said in the same chapter, Romans 1. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection. You know what natural affection is? When a man sees a woman and his heart goes to beating heavy, and he goes to trying to question her and ask her, you know, about going out and learning to get to know. And a woman that sees a man, yeah, I might could like to be able to go out with you, yo, if it wasn't for that nasty looking third eye in the middle of your head. We live in a world that's perverted, and they've got unnatural affections that are vile in the sight of God. Now I want to say to you in closing, never get to the place to where you're afraid to call them. In the Bible, God calls them sodomites. If you get a different version that wants to be a little bit lighter on it, they call them homosexuals. If you talk to me, I call them fags, queers, perverts, and anything else that you can call them. Don't be sympathetic with that crowd. And let me tell you, one of the most hurtful things that you'll ever find in your life is the fact that somebody that you love dearly, that they went nuts and are so full of hell and wickedness that they decided to forget everything they ever learned about God, the Bible, good, right, moral, and decent, and had unnatural affections burning in their soul. What a sad day that is. Well, we're there. We're there. I mean, you know, whenever you look at that fellow by the name of Pete Buttigieg, the transportation czar that we have, he doesn't have a clue what he's doing. I mean, outside, I know he has a clue who he's doing. Now, see, isn't that the one that got a baby and took off maternity leave? And see how perverted that is? I'm just telling you. I want to say in closing tonight is that he's not nearly as clean-cut looking as that queer that's married to another man on Fox News. Got a syndicated radio program. I can't think of his name, and it doesn't matter. I call them perverts. And don't you get sympathetic. You know what God said? They ought to be removed from the land. Everybody that ever did what was right in the sight of God that became a king in Israel, remove the Sodomites from the land. That's their job, the people that are in leadership. But now, if you say that too openly in the wrong spot, in the wrong place, the wrong time, the only person be leaving the land be you being incarcerated in a dark dungeon somewhere so they can't hear you anymore. Make no mistake about it, before the coming of the Lord, as bad as it is now, it's going to be worse then. And what you ought to do is gird around your loins the truth of God and ask God to hide his word in your heart that, number one, you might not sin against God. Number two, that you might teach transgressors his ways. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, we just want to say thank you for loving us. We ask your blessings now upon this service tonight. And Lord, how good that it is to be able to know you in the free pardon of sin. I pray you build the heads about the heart.